Yesterday, Edda and I said goodbye to my parents for 10 days. We had the privilege of spending time together. They live in a different country, back in Germany, and so it was wonderful to enjoy the blessing of family together for those 10 days. Family is God's idea. It is the basic building block of society. So what is Jesus doing, questioning these special God-given bonds? Isn't blood thicker than water? When we read through Mark and the first chapters of Mark, it seems that Jesus is intent on upsetting all those sacred values, such as Sabbath keeping last Sunday and the priority of family this Sunday. What these two accounts from last Sunday and this Sunday have in common is that they are about power and control. The religious experts want to exert control over Jesus and put him back into a clearly defined religious system. The family of Jesus felt he needed to be controlled to protect him. He is out of his mind. In both cases, Jesus resisted. Why? Because his mission was at stake. His mission to invite all God's children to become a part of his kingdom, a kingdom of grace, forgiveness, healing, purpose, and eternal hope, to break down all barriers that separate us from God and from one another. Jesus' family felt they had a prior claim on Jesus. It was the claim of the biological family. Jesus replies with a question: who are my mother and my brothers? And then Mark 3, verse 34, then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. This is revolutionary. Jesus is saying, what you are witnessing here is a whole new definition of family. And it is not restricted to blood relations and in-laws. Many people in Israel in Jesus' day had a similar view of the coming Messiah, that he was Israel's Messiah, Jesus' special nation, special family, and they had a special, maybe exclusive claim on him. What they didn't see was that all through the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, God was announcing his rule and his blessing to all nations. We heard it in Psalm 138 earlier. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. When Jesus points to the people sat around him as his true family, he's saying, what has been announced for centuries is now taking shape in front of your eyes. Yale philosopher Nicholas Walterstorff says that we have a natural tendency to organize ourselves in tribes. And the basic principle of tribalism is this: those who are like me are more valuable than those who are not. Jesus' kingdom, his new community, his family, cuts across all of that. And so St. Paul can write in his letter to the Galatians, there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ. When Jesus' mother and brothers come to restrain him, a crowd is sitting around him. Why? Because they are learning from him, their master and teacher. In fact, sitting at the feet of someone is biblical language for becoming someone's disciple. That's why the Apostle Paul talked about having sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a famous rabbi of his day. And this has helped me to see the story of Mary and Martha in a new light. You probably know it well. Jesus is visiting, and while Martha busies herself cleaning the house and preparing the food, Mary sits at Jesus' feet. And when Martha complains, Jesus says, "Martha, you're concerned about many things, but only one is needful. It's the thing that Mary has chosen." What Jesus is not saying is, let's all think high and lofty thoughts and someone else does the washing up, please. That's not what he's saying. No, Mary sat at his feet. She became his disciple, his follower. That is the one thing that is needful. And then all tribal distinctions become secondary: race, gender, social class, because those who follow Jesus are one in him. This is Jesus's new family. I'm so grateful for family. I was blessed to grow up in a loving family. But I thank God that I also experienced the family of Jesus from early on. Other church members were welcome at our table. Friends and strangers found an open door. We're invited to be part of what was going on in our home. And I somehow instinctively knew, as a little boy, that those people were family, because they too were followers of Jesus. And Jesus welcomes all, because all are loved by his heavenly Father. This is revolutionary, and it's truly good news. When we elevate the nuclear family as the one model of a deeply significant life, where we can truly give and receive love, we exclude whole swathes of people who don't fit that mold. But when our eyes are opened to the reality of the family of Jesus, we have hope, not just when we die, but today. Because we too have been given mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children in Jesus' family. I know people in churches who say, "Why is it that I'm rarely invited to dinner parties? Because I'm single, because I'm divorced, because I'm widowed." I know people who dread Mothering Sunday because it reminds them that they do not have children or grandchildren. But Jesus says, "Welcome to my family. You too are a beloved child of my heavenly Father. Follow me and discover that you have parents, siblings, children." One of the remarkable things about Jesus' movement is how women were valued by him and then by the early church. And we've still got so much to learn from this carpenter from Nazareth, as the whole Me Too movement is showing us. Dorothy Sayers was the first woman to receive a degree from Oxford. As a devoted follower of Jesus, she wrote this: "Perhaps it's no wonder that the women were first at the cradle and last at the cross. They had never known a man like this man. There never has been such another. A prophet and teacher who never nagged at them, never flattered or patronized, who never treated them either as the women, God help us, or the ladies, God bless them. Who took their questions and arguments seriously, who had no axe to grind and no uneasy male dignity to defend." This was Jesus. This is Jesus. Is Jesus against traditional families? Of course he isn't. The Bible says that as a child, he was obedient to his parents. He endorsed the biblical teaching on marriage. And even in his hour of death, he made sure that his mother, by then a widow, was looked after by his disciple, John. And his own biological family eventually understood how God's plan for family is so much bigger than they had ever thought. His mother Mary was among the small group of believers after the resurrection. His brother James later became a believer and a leader in the Church of Jerusalem. He wrote the letter of James in our Bibles. One of the highlights of my week is the Moving On course. The Moving On course, which we hold at the moment on Monday evenings in the rectory. We are a motley crew. Those of you who are here today will say, yeah, we are. We're a motley crew. We all come with our baggage. We all are very different. But we are united in wanting to learn from and follow Jesus. There is nothing better than that. We are family. Blood is thicker than water. Because as Christians, we are not just another interest group. Our common interest is the study of the historical person of Jesus of Nazareth. You can expect stimulating talks and animated discussions. The annual membership fee is... no. That's not what the Christian faith is. I've had a dream for some time, and I think it's a dream from God. A dream of 100 homes in Denham and beyond. People who belong to this church and live out Jesus' teaching that those who leave everything behind for his sake will receive mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and homes 100-fold. Your home is my home. My home is your home, because we're part of the same family. Blood is thicker than water. John chapter 15, Jesus speaking, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus gave his blood so that we can be God's family. Because you don't become a member of a family by trying very hard. You are born into it or adopted into it. It's not by your own merit. And we can be born again as members of Jesus' family because he died for us. John chapter 1, all who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of men, but of God. Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are you part of his family? In a moment or two, we're going to celebrate the family meal of Jesus. Because blood is thicker than water. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I receive you. My whole life is yours. I have heard your call. I'm sitting down at your feet to learn from you. Help me to do your will. Amen.